Hello, my name is Davis, and my age is 7. Today, I'm going to be baptized. I'm going to get dunked in water. Jesus is the Son of God, our Father. He died on the cross, and that meant there was forgiveness for all, everything. Jesus has helped me become a better person. He's been so good to us all. I'm just happy that he has blessed us and he will come back one day. I need Jesus because I would be a slave to sin without him. I would be evil. I was saved because I said, Jesus is Lord. God's Lord. God and Jesus. And we don't bow down to them. We would go to hell. I'm so excited that I get to show the world that I'm gonna be saved, that I am saved, and I just wanna share the greatness.
Wow. I'm Tyler and this is Davis, and buddy, we are so proud of you. Are you ready?
Yeah.
In obedience with the command of Christ, and upon your confession of faith, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Ebony Harrison. I am 24. My career is social work, and I am a senior at Texas College. I originally accepted Christ around 7 or 8, but I rededicated my life to Christ here this past year. That one's kind of indescribable, but to me, being a Christian is, I don't even know how to explain it. It's so pure, it's precious. It's always having someone to fight for you when you cannot fight for yourself. Having someone love you relentlessly, always battling with your insecurities, the world, and Satan fighting for you every single day. No matter how far I drift off, he's always near, always pursuing me. So it's pretty precious. Today I am publicly announcing to the world, to the church, to my family, to my friends, that I have decided to take this step further with Jesus. I've already been committed into my step, but this is just a public announcement to everyone and just a symbol of my relationship with Christ.
I baptize you now, Ebony, in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in the likeness of his death.
I'm raised to walk in you.
My name is Emily Pierce, and I am 11 years old, and I like riding my horse, BB, and I enjoy acting. I got saved on December 12, 2018. I had been feeling God moving me through a couple of the sermons I've been hearing a couple of months back and still now, and a lot of the worship songs that we heard here at Grace, and it really moved me, and really I felt God's power moving through the worship, and I felt that I just kind of felt moved to get saved. My parents have helped me a lot. Whenever I would be feeling down or not in a great mood, my mom would always just tell me why or how and maybe to pray about it and what God's word has said about it. And whenever I'm just having a bad day, my dad will always come up to me and, you know, help with me and pray for me. And just, they have both been great examples of Christ and have kind of showed me what it's like to be a follower. I am getting baptized today because I realized that I am a sinner, and that by grace I am saved, and without Jesus Christ I am, well, nothing. And Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, will be right by my side, walking with me my whole life.
It's my joy and privilege to baptize you, Emily, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptized in the likeness of our Savior's death, raised to walk with you.
Thank you.
Hello. Thank you for joining us. We've been so encouraged over the last couple of weeks as our campuses have joined together and had a chance to worship Christ. But not only our campuses, really believers from around the nation and around the globe have joined us. So to our friends in Chicago and to our friends in Papua New Guinea and our friends here in East Texas, welcome. We want to make much of Jesus. We want to focus in on him, and we pray that this time is encouraging and challenging to you.
Awesome wonder, consider all the world I am tapping. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder. I pop them out, the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior, guide to me. How great thou art.
Hi, Grace Community. I'm Kyle Smith. I'm the Director of Worship from our Lindale campus. Welcome to our home. We're so glad to have you with us. I want to introduce you to my son and my daughter. Their names are
Wyatt and May.
Wyatt and May. Well, welcome. We're really happy to be with you. And in this season, it's important and it's special to still be able to worship together and especially worship through music. I love music. And one of my favorite descriptions of music is that it's a mixture of science and barbecue. That it's
yum.
That it's, you know, there are a lot of rules and it's mathematical, but then at the same time, there's something special that can just sink into our hearts. And the things that we watch, the things that we listen to and we read, those go into our hearts and they rattle around and they become true for us. So the best thing we can do is read and sing and focus on Scripture. So this next song is based on Psalm 23 that says God is always with us. No matter what we walk through, what we go through, God is with us. And spoiler alert, he is victorious. He says, yes, there will be hard times in this life, but he has overcome this world. We don't walk alone. He is there. So I thought it'd be an encouragement to read Psalm 23 together before we sing this next song. Let's read. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Let's sing together.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Kyle and Christy, for leading us in worship. And thank you, Wyatt and May, too. Isn't it just awesome to see the whole family worshiping together? I love this part of our online worship experience, that we get to see more than we normally do, the whole Grace family engaged in worship together. I love it. We're going to continue our worship through giving right now. And whether you give through the app, or whether you give online, or whether you give through a text, or even if you just write a check and send it to the office, whatever way you choose to give, it's our opportunity now to say back to God, we love you, and we honor you with everything that we are, and the gifts that you've given us, we give freely back to you as an act of worship. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for what you're doing in the midst of our body. Thank you so much for who you are as our God. And we want to acknowledge that you are our God, that there is no other, and that we want to give ourselves fully and completely to you. So use this offering, these resources, to make a difference in the world, to build your kingdom, to bring people into an eternal relationship with you. God, thank you for letting us be a part of that. We praise you and we honor you with everything that we are. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hey, Grace Kids, I'm Sam, and this is my dad. Wow, it's been a little weird lately for us kids.
It has been.
Yeah, well, I've had to stay home a lot, like you. And I've been feeling a little nervous about things. And maybe you've been feeling that way too. And if you have, that's okay.
Yeah.
I have to talk to my parents about it all the time, and they always tell me how loving and caring our God is. And it helps me a lot. And so maybe you should talk to your parents about how you're feeling too.
Yeah, it's a really good idea, because change is everywhere right now. Every day there's something new. And we find that routine really helps our family in terms of feeling good through that change. In fact, if you add prayer to that routine, that not only helps the child, but it helps the parent a great deal as well. Just last night, I was putting our youngest to bed, and I didn't pray. And right as I was leaving, he said, "Dad, you forgot to pray." I immediately went back in, I prayed with Eli, and it was a sweet time. But that really helped him. It gave him peace, and he was able to fall asleep right away. You know, this week in the Grace Kids Friday Fun Challenge, they're talking all about prayer. And I know we're going to grab a hold of that and use that for our family, and we would encourage you to do that too. It's a great way to implement prayer into the life of your family. So, Sam, we pray, but what else do we do as a family?
Yeah, we pray and we say Bible verses and we sing songs about God.
You got any favorite songs?
Yeah, I have one.
Let's do it.
And some other ones. Yes, I will. Hope y'all will sing with us.
Yes, I will. Joy when my heart is heavy all my
Maybe you're like me. This virus has exposed some things in your heart, like things you've taken for granted. Your schedule, being able to just predict what you're going to do the next day, just expected rhythms that you have every week. Or maybe it's your freedoms, being able to go to the store when you want. But for me, the thing that has really kind of shaken me up is how much I took corporate worship for granted, being able to be in a room together with the body of Christ singing to God about His goodness and His faithfulness to us. Maybe for some of us, it's kind of exposed, like, honestly, that our hearts are getting broken over things that really aren't that important, things that we thought were under our control, or maybe even things that aren't even necessities to begin with. Which leads us to this sad state. We question God's goodness. Was God good 3 weeks ago? The answer is yes. Then what's changed? He's still good. Nothing's changed, just our circumstances. And our circumstances don't dictate how good God is. He doesn't change. And we can trust in Him for the promises that He's given us. But what if God's gift through this virus is perspective? Not new perspective, but the perspective of something we've known for a long time. The perspective that God is good, even if things aren't good, He's still good. With that being said, we can all admit it, right? This is unusual. And for many of us, this is a very difficult time. Moms and dads are just honestly admitting, right? Teachers don't get paid enough. Little Johnny really is hard to corral. Little Sally really does talk a lot. And teachers are just kind of relaxing on their couches saying, "I told you so." Kids are wondering what the big deal is. It's an early summer, right? Except all the homework. All of us have a new appreciation for those that stock groceries at the store, right? Small businesses, they're struggling right now. They're struggling just to pay their employees. Some of you have lost jobs in this season and experienced some of the darkest days of your life. I think that it is safe to say that we all have been under the facade of control. Suffice it to say, it's official, our cages have been rattled. Many of us, though, see that this is a time that we need to reset our lives. We need to go back to fundamental truths that we lost touch with all the busyness. Corrie ten Boom says it this way. She says, "If the devil cannot make us bad, he will make us busy." And we can learn a lot from her. Right? She was a Dutch Christian that was arrested and put in a concentration camp during World War II for housing refugees and having flyers that were about Nazi resistance. She later became a missionary, right? A teacher and a writer. And she gives this truth, which I think is so appropriate for us in this time. She says this, "You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have." Listen to that. You can never learn that Christ is all you need until Christ is all you have. David Paulson says it in a similar way. He says, we don't just need a new perspective or a new strategy. We need a Savior right here, right now. And today we're going to cover this instruction that Jesus gave His disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, instructions on how to pray. And so what I want to invite you to do with your families is just read this scripture that's going to be on your screen and read it aloud together. Do you remember the first time that you read that passage? Or the first time you prayed that prayer? For me, it takes me back to the fall of 1983. There was 7-year-old Lewis, and he was on a flag football team called the Clearwater Cowboys, right? And it was before our games that Coach Hightower got us circled around and we prayed the Lord's Prayer. He was making sure that we were focused on Jesus, right? Before we slaughter our snaggletooth foes. All kidding aside, this is one of three passages in Scripture that many of us know. We may not know a lot of Scripture by heart, but there's these three. The first one being John 3:16, the second one, Psalm 23, and then this one, the Lord's Prayer. And Jesus starts it off in verse 9 where it says, "Pray then like this," meaning in contrast to the other ways we've seen. So the other ways we've seen in verse 5, we see Jesus says, "Don't be like the hypocrites who pray on the street corners very loudly so that people can give them applause." The word hypocrite is a picture of a stage actor, right? Someone who performs for others so that they would get the applause from the crowd. And then he says, don't be like the Gentiles either. They just heap up a bunch of empty phrases. And what we see is that Jesus is given a right way to approach God in prayer. This prayer shows us a pattern of praise, of intercession, right? And a way to request before God that helps us understand the nature, right? And purpose of our personal prayers in light of the relationship we have with the Father. So notice the first phrase. He says, "Our Father in heaven." The use of Father here indicates that there is a relationship. The word Father signifies a transition in the life of a believer, one from alienation to now reconciliation, where we've been brought near. The word Father also lets us know of our place with Him. We are in His family. We are His children. And we know how this relationship is possible, right? In Romans 8, Galatians 4, it says we've been adopted, and by this we can call out Abba, Father. And really that picture shows that we are co-heirs with Christ, the Son of God, in flesh. The next phrase, "Hallowed be thy name," right? Hallowed be your name, right? You know that. We use the word hallowed like every day. But that word, it's a picture of transcending above all things. It means to be honored, to be esteemed, to be valued. And so really, this prayer centers on the relationship with the Father and the desire to hallow the name of God, to esteem, to value, to honor His name. Hallowing His name does this for us. It gives us the right heart posture. All that God stands for should be treated as holy and honored because of His utter perfection and His goodness. So what we're going to see is the next five requests of God serve to hallow His name. The first, "Your kingdom come." Verse 10, right? This is a lordship plea. It's asking God to take over every part of our lives, like our emotions, the things we desire, our thoughts, our commitments, saying, "I want your kingdom to come, not mine, because my false kingdom is really out of control," saying, "I want your name to be honored, not mine, because my name is powerless." Ultimately saying, "Lord, I want to align my family, my job, my friendships, my education to reflect the work of your kingdom." And then we see the next phrase, right? "Your will be done." It is submitting our will, our agenda, and our feelings to God. We see this really as a pattern that Jesus gives later in Matthew chapter 26. It's when He's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, right? He says to the Father three times, "Not my will, but your will be done. It's a picture of him just relinquishing control completely. And that's what we should do. He's calling his followers to be like him. And the next phrase, on earth as it is in heaven. How do the heavenly host respond to the Father? Consider for a second the different accounts we have in Scripture that describe all the different nuances and just the beautiful things that exist in heaven. The precious jewels, the stones, the majestic creatures flapping their wings, the ear-popping sounds of praise, all for one reason: the one on the throne. It's showing a desire for God's reign and the accomplishment of his purposes to take place in this world, even as they already do in heaven. Meaning, I want his will to be done in my life. I want his will to be done worldwide among the nations. The next few requests, what we're going to see is the basis for God's name being hallowed, for his kingdom to come, for his will to be done the way it is in heaven. Notice the first one. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Like, we need to be alive if we're going to live for him, have a will that's submitted to his. So this request is natural, right? We need to be thriving in our flesh, in our bodies that are living for God. This request, though, for daily bread recalls God's vision of manna from heaven for the Hebrew children. We see this in Exodus 16. He gave them food for that day. This is an asking for our necessities, not our luxuries. Plus, the benefit is it's denying our own self-sufficiency. And in so doing, what it does is it humbles us. And we begin to acknowledge our need for God, our dependence on him to deliver and take care of us. James 1:17 reminds us, right? Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. And then verse 12, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. So think about this for a moment with me. If we have not seen our sin and sought radical forgiveness from God, we will be unable to forgive and to seek the good of those who have wronged us. We ask for daily bread, but we also ask for daily forgiveness for our sins. When we forgive, it testifies of our relationship with the Father, showing that we value our relationship with him. Matthew 5:7 says this, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." We see that earlier in this Sermon on the Mount. And then for us, we know this is right. That mercy is not based on whether or not we deserve it. And so it shouldn't be on the deservedness of the person who's wronged or hurt us. And then we see the next phrase, and lead us not into temptation. In essence, it's a plea for guidance, saying, lead me away from falling into sin, and do not allow us to come under the sway or to succumb to temptation that will overpower us and cause us to sin. Believers who pray these words realize their sinful nature and their need to depend on God in the face of temptation. In essence, it's asking for deliverance from the remaining evil that's inside of us. And then the last phrase, right? But deliver us from evil. This is a prayer for protection from the evil outside of us, from Satan, and especially our enemies who wish to do us harm. So for a moment, you're going to see on your screen a picture and some music playing. Just take a moment and listen to this. That's a picture in music from Vedran Smilovic. He was a principal cellist for the city orchestra in the early 90s in Sarajevo. The city was known for its arts and its beauty, but it was under siege. And on May 22, 1992, he was practicing his cello in his upstairs apartment when all of a sudden he heard an explosion that rattled his apartment building. And he looks out of his window and he sees the city square in rubble. And it killed 22 men, women, and children. So he realized he had to do something to stand up against the enemy. But he realized the only thing he knew how to do was to play music. And so that's what he did. Every day, for 22 days straight, he would put on his tuxedo that he would wear as he played with the orchestra, as he played at the opera. And he would go sit in the rubble and take his cello and play in honor of each of those victims for 22 days straight. So right here, right now, we're not being bombed by our enemies while we wait for food. For us, though, we need to know that the way that we fight back against the enemy, against our own wickedness, we need to know that prayer is our weapon, and it destroys the enemies of self that parade around for others. We need to know that prayer is a weapon against our self-centeredness, which distorts our vision. We need to know that prayer is a weapon against our self-sufficiency, which confuses our needs. We need to know that prayer is a weapon against our self-righteousness, which puts us on the throne of lies. And we need to know that prayer is a weapon against our selfishness, which honestly makes us vulnerable to the enemy's subtle attacks against us. Here's the final picture. Our hearts should be engaged in hallowing God's name. His kingdom comes for that. His will is done for that. Our lives are sustained for that. Sins are forgiven for that, and temptation is escaped for that. Paul Miller says this, a needy heart is a praying heart. I would say that we're needy. He goes on to say that dependency is the heartbeat of prayer. So, church, I know it's been difficult. I know many of you are struggling right now. You're watching this and you're like, Lewis, you don't know what I'm walking in. I know that. So as you continue, just make a commitment. Continue to hallow God's name. And remember this. You may feel isolated and alone right now, but because of Christ, you're not alone. You may feel like your hope is not in your control anymore. You need to know it's not in what you control. It's in your dependence on God's ability to save and redeem you. And you need to know that the greatest weapon that you have isn't anger. It's prayer. So I want to encourage you to make a commitment individually and corporately and as families to begin praying, to see this model and example that Jesus gave to his disciples, and for us to see it, to practice it, and to live it out. Let me pray for us. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the body of Christ. I thank you for the word of Jesus here teaching his disciples, teaching us on how to pray and approach our Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord. Hallow the name of God with every fiber of our being. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, we worship you. You're so worthy to be praised. Even in our homes right now, God, we lift up a song to you. We want to declare together that you are good, that you are high and lifted up, you are sovereign, and we trust you today, Lord. We worship you. Well, let's sing together. You are good.
You are good. You are good. When there's nothing good in me. display for all to see. You are light, you are light. When the darkness closes in, you are hope, you are hope. You have covered all my sin. Thank you, Lord. We sing your peace. You are peace, you are peace. When my fear is crippling, you are true, you are true. Even in my wandering, you are joy, you are joy. You're the reason that I sing. You are life, you are life. In you death has lost its sting.
Yeah, come on, we declare it together. We sing, oh, I'm running.
And oh, I'm running to your arms. I'm running to your arms. The riches of your love will always be enough. Nothing compares to your embrace. Light of the world, forever reign.
Yeah, we sing, you are more.
My heart will sing no other name. My heart will sing no other name. Jesus, Jesus. My heart will sing,
yes,
no other name but Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
Come on, sing it. Sing it to you, Lord.
My heart will sing.
Kyle, thank you so much for leading us in worship. That's a powerful song to remind us that God alone is light and he is peace and he's the one that we need to be running to during these times, actually all the time. Before you guys head out today, we want to tell you about a
prayer and fasting initiative for our church that we are so excited to be introducing tomorrow. It's called the 40 by 4 by 40 prayer and fasting initiative. And we'll be using Zoom online and hosting 40 minutes of prayer, 4 days a week, Monday through Thursday, for 40 days. You can pick a time that works for you when it's best for you to join us, either 6:30 a.m., noon, or 6:30 p.m. And maybe just pick one day, one of those times to really commit to over the next several weeks. You can come and go during that 40-minute period of time. If it doesn't work for you to stay the entire time, it doesn't matter. We'll take you and you can join in whenever you can. We also would encourage you to think about fasting for the meal that you might normally eat during that time or even for the whole day. We know that when we pray and fast together, it really reminds us and heightens our awareness of our need for God. So the prayer time will be scripture driven, and it's going to be a time where we really seek God. We remember who He is together, praying scripture back to Him, and then asking Him to move in extraordinary ways, both physically all over the globe and spiritually all over the globe as well. We hope that He will use this time of crisis around the world to drive men and women and children, people of every tribe and tongue and nation, to Himself. And we want to be a part of that. So would you come and join us, please, one of those times as we seek Him to do what only He can. You can find out more about this initiative and link to it on our app, of course, and then at gcc.org/ipray. So hope to see you in one of those Zoom prayer rooms this week.
Yeah, we're super psyched about that, Grace. Thanks so much for bringing that to our attention. It's a great opportunity for us to pray and do exactly what Lewis was talking about. Use prayer as a weapon to beat back what Satan's trying to do in the world. We're grateful that God is engaged with us as the church. In fact, Jeremiah 33:3 says, if you call on God's name, He will answer you. And He's going to do some things that are mighty and awesome and incredible, and we won't even understand them. And what a great time we have in the midst of this virus and all the other stuff that's going on in our world to see God work in our midst. Thank you so much for entering into worship. Thank you so much for being actively engaged in what God's trying to do through us in the world. Looking forward to seeing you back here next week, Grace Community. Thanks for joining us today.